Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. This is Shane Van Hart with Brian Myers. Welcome to another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Christmas week. We're recording a little bit early because Ron did not, he's not dedicated and he did not want to come in on Christmas. I yes. don't understand that.
But we are here on Christmas Eve. That's, you know,
absolutely
that's pretty good.
Right, right. Yeah, most folks probably know we usually record on Friday mornings and the program airs on Saturdays because we're not dedicated enough
there
to come
go.
To the studio on Saturday mornings either.
Hey, this has been one hectic week all the way around.
It
you
has.
And I were both on the road this week.
Yep.
I was coming back from Minnesota yesterday and ran into some really nasty weather between Mason City and Ames.
I wondered.
That was ugly.
Because I was headed up that way. I headed up that way last night. And once I got north of Ankeny, it's like, oh, there's snow and visibility is not very good. And it was like in the 40s in Des Moines. It was weird.
Yeah, and it was the first time this year that I actually had to drive in snow and be careful and had a little white knuckling going on and watching people going in the ditch. It was like a brutal reminder that we really are in winter.
Yes, and it is Iowa. Yes.
That's right.
Oh, I saw... when I was out on the road, I actually took some time, you know, because Cheryl was not interested to see Star Wars, The Force Awakens. So I got done.
You went there alone?
Yeah, well, I didn't really have a choice. So
wow.
I was, you know.
You could have invited Brian.
Well, I was in Coralville, and it was like, there's a 10 o'clock show I can catch. Awesome. So I went. And The Force Awakened. There. I won't give anything up. It was a good movie. I highly encourage everybody to go see it.
So what are we doing today anyway?
Well, we could air out our grievances, you know, in honor of Festivus. No, we got a special guest on the line. Brian Aiken. He's the Webby Award nominated digital marketer, advocate for freedom without compromise, and the best-selling author of The Blue Tent Sky, which talks about an experience where he outlines an experience he had in New Jersey. So, Brian, are you not a fan of the Garden State? I just
hey, we gotta welcome him to the show.
Oh, hey, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Yeah,
thanks for coming on, Brian.
I left my manner with Brian, so he had to hand it back to me. So,
I have some fond memories from the Garden State, but I can't say that I've spent a lot of time there since 2010.
Yeah. Well, you're about to tell us why. You were born there, correct?
I was born just outside of New Jersey in Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
And,
okay.
Moved there pretty young. I think I was about 5 years old, and then stayed there until I was 18. Moved out, and it's one of those experiences where New Jersey is one of those states where everybody tries to leave, but one way or another, it grabs its hooks into you and it pulls you back. And I found myself in a situation like that in 2009, was moving back to New Jersey, had two firearms that I owned legally that I had purchased from, Bass Pro Shops completely legally, did the background checks and everything, had all the appropriate paperwork. I talked to the state police to make sure I was moving them in the proper fashion and that I was following all the laws, because there's a patchwork of laws between all the different states.
Yeah.
And it can get really messy if you don't, if you're not careful.
Right.
Even if you think you know the laws, there's a good chance of breaking one. I'm moving, and it's all part of a custody battle, because I've been living in Colorado, and my wife and my son had moved to New Jersey, and the marriage wasn't working out, so I'd moved closer to my son. And I wasn't able to have any visitation with him. I had court-ordered visitation, but my ex-wife wasn't letting me see my son. It was just a messy divorce. And I said to my mom as I was moving into a new apartment, I don't know what the point of being here is if I can't see my son.
Right.
And as I'm, I pack up my car, including my firearms, everything that you can possibly imagine a 24-year-old kid owning was crammed into my car. All of my clothing, my books, my dishes, everything. And about 15 minutes after I left, my mom thought about what I could have possibly meant by, it's not worth being here anymore. And she's a trained caseworker for the Burlington County Family Support Organization.
Oh.
And they're trained to call 911 anytime they think that somebody could be, you know, in a bad position, in a bad state of mind.
Okay.
Oh,
so
no.
She immediately dialed 911 and hung up the phone, realizing her mistake, realizing that's not what I meant, that that wasn't me.
Yeah.
And she hung up the phone. But at that point, it was too late. The police came out to my parents' house on an abandoned 911 call. And from that point forward, it became a gun hunt. There was never any concern about my mental health, my mental well-being.
Wow.
One of the first questions they asked my mom was, does he own any weapons? She said, yes, he does. I don't know if he has them. And that's when I received the first phone call from a police officer asking me if I was okay and if I would turn around and come back to my parents' house. And I said, yeah, I'm fine. You know, I'm angry. And I told him about the divorce and, you know, how things could obviously be better. But, you know, I was moving into a new apartment and I didn't want to have to turn around if I didn't have to. So I asked him if I was legally required to turn around and he said no. So I said, okay, I'm not going to. Thanks for calling. And we both hung up the phone.
Have a nice day.
About a minute later, I got a second phone call, and his tone had changed completely. And he said, we've issued a general alert, and this is after he found out that I owned firearms. We've issued a statewide alert. If you don't come back on your own, there are police officers out there looking for your make and model car, and you're going to be put over, taken into custody, and brought back. I'm not a suspect in any crime whatsoever. This is all about getting a hold of my legally owned firearms.
Jeez.
So ultimately I fought the case.
You went back though, correct?
I did go back. I was subjected to a 3-hour long search of my car.
And all this was done without a warrant, I'm assuming.
It was all done without a warrant. When I said that I didn't want them to search my car, they told me that there's always the easy way and the hard way with some of these police officers. Not all of them, but some of them, you know, the easy and the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
So they told me the easy way is just consent and, you know, sign the consent form. The hard way is that they would send me to a mental institution for 72 hours.
Oh,
and
man.
As part of that process, they would have to impound my car. And as part of impounding the car, they have to search it so they can itemize everything in the car and make sure I get all my possessions back. So they pretty much told me one way or another, we're searching the car. Either we do it the easy way, and, you know, if you have nothing to hide, there's nothing to worry about, or the hard way, and we're going to lock you up in a mental asylum.
Jeez.
Yeah. And, they haven't called a single social worker. There's nobody there to talk to me about anything. It was all just about, Brian owns guns. We want to get those guns. Ultimately they found my locked and unloaded firearms in the trunk of my car exactly as they're supposed to be written by New Jersey state law and federal law.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried explaining the law to them. That didn't go very well. They told me to explain it to a judge and I was arrested, spent the weekend in jail because this was a Friday.
Always happens on a Friday, doesn't it?
Yeah, and then the next 2 years of my life were spent battling the state of New Jersey over firearms that I legally owned, and I'd never committed a crime at all.
Right, now, what's the process in New Jersey as far as getting a carry permit?
Oh, it's impossible.
Okay, so basically, if you own a firearm in New Jersey, it's basically just to be in your home, that's it?
Yeah, and then there are exemptions that are carved out of the law that allow you to take it from your house to the shooting range, from your house to go hunting, and from your house to another house when you're moving. And I was taking it from one house to another when I was moving.
Right.
And there's federal law and state law that protects an individual's right to do that. But in the state of New Jersey, less than 500 people have concealed carry permits, and there's over 2 million gun owners.
Hmm.
I wouldn't have thought there was that many.
If you're not incredibly politically connected, you can't get a concealed carry permit.
Hmm. Well, at the end of the day, what were you charged with, Brian?
Illegal possession of firearms, illegal possession of high-capacity magazines, which are standard-capacity magazines that come from Smith & Wesson.
Right.
And illegal possession of hollow-point ammunition, which is legal in New Jersey, but it's illegal to carry outside of your house.
Unless you have it mail-ordered to your house.
Wouldn't that make the UPS guy a violation of the law, too?
You can take the hollow-point bullets from the store to your house, and you can take them from your house to go hunting or from your house to the shooting range, but you can't take hollow-point bullets from one house to another when you're moving. So in the state of New Jersey, you have to leave your hollow-points in your prior residence when you move to a new house.
Oh, now that's a cerebral piece of legislation.
Wow.
All right.
So theoretically, they really could have had you just on one. The other two charges seem bogus, but technically, on that technicality, they could have had you on the hollow point charge.
Well, ultimately, the governor, I fought the entire, all of the charges. The NRA supported me financially when I ran out of money and helped me pay my lawyers. I spent 4 months in prison because I was convicted. The judge refused to tell the jury what the laws were that allowed me to have my firearms when I was moving.
Wow.
And the jury came back 3 times asking the judge, you know, what are these laws? In fact, I'll read you one of the notes that the jury sent the judge. Please define the exceptions to the law for all 3 charges. That is, it was announced that moving is an exception. We need to be clear of all exceptions, if any, for each charge. But the judge refused to tell them what the laws were.
That is ridiculous.
His opinion, because I went on Freedom Watch with Judge Napolitano, and he went on a tirade about how Judge Andrew Napolitano isn't the judge in my case. Fox News is trying to use me. I had guns in New Jersey. I was guilty. I was going to go to jail. And the judge is telling me this 6 months before my trial even began.
Wow. So he
had made up his mind far in advance.
He wanted to make an example out of you. Hey, you're listening to Caffeinate.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're listening to Caffeinate Thoughts Radio, and on the line we have Brian Akin, who's sharing his harrowing story about being convicted of, we're not sure exactly what crime. The jury wasn't exactly sure what crime you technically committed, but you spent 4 months in prison for basically having guns that you purchased legally and you stored legally in New Jersey. As the trial was going on, I mean, when did you think, when did it suddenly hit you that, hey, I'm going to get convicted?
I always thought that I had a chance. I really thought that if the jury just was presented with the laws, that there was a very good chance that I was going to be exonerated. It's a gamble. It's always a gamble. You just never know.
Did they offer you a plea deal?
They offered me a plea deal about a dozen times. It was always the same deal. It was a 5-year sentence with a 1-year mandatory minimum.
It's not much of a deal.
A dozen times is a lot to offer a plea deal.
Right.
If they offer a plea deal, they might offer it once if they offer it at all. Second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth time that they offered it, that's when I realized I had a really good chance of winning.
Yeah, I was going to say, they probably thought their case was pretty shaky. What does the New Jersey statute sentencing require in your particular case? I mean, when you were convicted, what were you sentenced to?
You got 7 years.
Seven years.
Yeah.
Okay.
7 years for a nonviolent, victimless crime of possessing things that I legally owned.
Oh, that's hard to wrap your mind around. Is this America?
I mean, if I'm you, Brian, and I get convicted, and I'm looking at a 7-year stretch over something like this, I mean, I don't know that I'd be able to get up in the morning. I mean, the whole thing would have just...
Oh, it gets worse. It gets worse. A family court judge, because I was indicted on gun charges, revoked custody of my son. And that's something that I'm still battling. I have a hearing on January 29th because I haven't been able to see him in 7 years.
Oh, wow.
Now, is your ex-wife...
I'm still battling to just be able to be in my son's life.
Is your ex-wife happy about that? Or, I mean, is she somewhat sympathetic to you, or...
I'd like to say that she is, but all of my attempts at communicating with her don't go without response. So I think, unfortunately, she's happy to have the state of New Jersey enforcing her will.
Mm. I'm so sorry to hear that. That's heartbreaking.
Is it fair to say, Brian, that if Governor Christie hadn't intervened, you'd still be in the tank right now?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This year, you know, marks 5 years since Governor Christie let me out of prison. I walked out of prison 2 days ago, 5 years ago.
Okay, 5 years and 2 days.
December 21st. Yeah.
Hmm. Oh, boy.
And, yeah, we're almost out of time with this segment. I want to ask you, next segment, basically think about, you're talking about how the process of getting clemency from, you know, Governor Christie took place, and kind of, you know, what are you doing now? This is incredible, folks, I want to encourage your listeners, don't think that this type of thing can't happen to you.
That's right.
Because
here
it can.
In America, who knew?
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back with Brian Akin in just a short while.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
In part by Travis Riswold, the Modern Woodman of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance
you need.
So we have on the line, we have Brian Akin, who is the author, best-selling author of The Blue Tent Sky. Where can people find your book, Brian?
You know, it's at Barnes & Noble. It's on Amazon. Really easy way to get it is just going to www.thebluetentsky.com.
Okay. All right. I encourage everybody to check that out. I know that's a purchase I need to make. So you were sentenced. You were sent to prison. Where were you sent?
I was sent to a prison called Mid-State Correctional Facility on Fort Dix. Essentially an annex building on a military base
in
New Jersey.
Okay. So was that medium security, maximum security? What kind of prison was it?
Medium security.
Medium.
So it was primarily... it was an interesting place. There were professional basketball players. There were pedophiles. There were judges. there were murderers and rapists.
Well, it was New Jersey, so...
Yeah. There were a few police officers who were incarcerated. It was a very unique prison. It was a strange place to be, but everyone told me that I lucked out by being sent there.
Okay.
Because a lot of these people were people who were at the tail end of their sentence and about to get out.
Right.
And not looking to cause any trouble.
Right. Yeah. Well, definitely medium security prison. I spent a little time working in the corrections field, both juveniles and then later out with adults. And it's, you know, mainly community corrections for myself with adults. But prison could be a very tough place. What was it like for you?
It was interesting. I mean, it was not something I thought that I was ever going to experience. It was it's like a city experience. When I spend a lot of time in New York City, I feel like I'm surrounded by millions of people, but I also feel like it can be an incredibly lonely place because nobody really talks to each other in New York City.
Right.
Prison's kind of the same way, but you know, there are some people that want to talk to you and befriend you, and you have to be very cautious and careful all the time about who you talk to and what you say. It's a very dangerous place.
Mm-hmm.
I found that in the 4 months that I was there, I read 42 books, and I wrote thousands of letters. I received thousands of letters from people all over the world. There were military captains, U.S. military captains, that were sending me postcards from Afghanistan, in support of me, saying that they couldn't believe that they were over there fighting for the rights of a third world country, and back in America, I wouldn't even have the right to the Second Amendment in New Jersey. And I got you know, hundreds of letters like that. By the second month of my incarceration, I was getting hundreds like that a week.
So I'm sure the prison guards probably thinking you're like a rock star.
it was unusual. They were like, "Oh, you really are the only innocent guy."
Brian, I got to ask you this too. I would imagine your mother was grieved beyond words, given the fact that she unintentionally set this entire chain in motion.
She still is. It's
yeah.
It still devastates her. How do you get back from that as a mother? And not just a mother, as a grandmother.
Mm.
I mean, this was the catalyst that set off so many different tragic events in our lives. And she hasn't been able to see her grandson in 7 years,
yeah.
Largely because they used this as a reason to keep my son and her grandson from us. Yeah. And it's heartbreaking. There's no justification for it.
Right. So how did Governor Christie find out about your case?
There was a Facebook page that I was really reluctant to initially agree to have, because I was worried that I might get, like, you know, 20 friends and then that would be it to support, you know, the free Brian Akin Facebook page.
Right.
But within a couple of days, it was up to like 16,000 people, and that was all just grassroots, you know, word of mouth marketing. One person would tell another person. We're talking about grassroots Second Amendment organizations. At that time, the Tea Party was huge, and a lot of the Tea Party networks were sharing my story. And it quickly was on every national TV network. We're talking MSNBC, Fox, CNN. Everybody was covering it. You know, kind of like, hey, what's this guy doing in prison when he didn't actually break any laws? And it only got more interesting when 2 weeks after the judge forced the jury to convict me, Governor Christie officially kicked him off the bench. For different reasons, because he was just such a horrible judge.
And
Governor Christie got rid of him.
I'm kudos to Governor Christie,
right,
for that.
We don't often praise him, but we'll praise him today.
Right? Yeah. Because we, you know, we're seeing him a little more often here in Iowa now that he's running for president.
I imagine. And,
and he's not. I think he's picking up more steam in New Hampshire than he is here. But there's a few things we like about Governor Christie, and this is one of them.
No doubt about it.
There was Governor Christie pardoned a Marine yesterday who was indicted and facing the same charges that I was facing, including unlawful possession of a handgun and hollow point bullets.
Man.
He was traveling to New Jersey. He had a license to carry from the state of Massachusetts. His name is Sergeant Joshua Velez.
Mm-hmm.
And he was arrested and indicted for having a legally owned firearm with legally owned ammunition locked in his glove box, and he was facing 5 to 10 years in prison, just like I did.
Which is absolutely crazy. He had a permit in Massachusetts. That's not exactly a conservative state. So
you don't get one of those off of box, you know, of a cereal box,
right? So
it's still easier to get it in Massachusetts than it is in New Jersey.
Which is wow. Is there any movement to actually maybe change some of the laws in New Jersey, or are they just firmly entrenched in?
We're working on it. In New Jersey, we have the New Jersey Second Amendment Society, and they've recently released a number of videos where they went into different police departments and they talked with a bunch of different government officials with hidden cameras to talk to people about the process of getting a concealed carry permit. And in New Jersey, in order to get a concealed carry permit, you need to meet something called a justifiable need.
Mm.
So your life has to literally have already been threatened.
Okay.
Or you need to be a senator, like Senator Sweeney,
who
has justifiable need because he is the Senate president.
Right. So maybe you just have your friends calling threats on you.
Brian, I got a couple of questions.
You probably still wouldn't even get it.
Oh, okay.
Brian, I got a couple of questions for you, just to kind of look back on things. First of all, is it your feeling that had you had a different judge in your case, that the entire situation would have been different? Or do you think that given the laws in New Jersey that you still would have been in trouble pretty much no matter what happened?
It's tough to say. The laws, even as perverse as they are, were technically on my side. So if there was a different judge, there's a good chance that they may have just followed the law and done the right thing. The case could have very well been dismissed.
Yeah.
But this happens so often to so many different people. I'm not in any way an isolated case. I was really the first case in New Jersey to get a lot of media attention, but since me, there's been Shanine Allen, who was also pardoned by the governor, Stefan Josie Davis, who was also pardoned by the governor, Guy Ackerman, this Marine who was pardoned yesterday. It happens far too often. And there's actually, I want to talk a second just about the justifiable need standard for another second. There was a woman in New Jersey who actually had a restraining order against her boyfriend. Her name was Carol Bowne, and she had applied for a permit to purchase a handgun, and she'd been waiting for months and months and months, had a restraining order. That wasn't enough for justifiable need. She just kept on waiting, and eventually she was stabbed to death by her ex while she was waiting for a gun permit.
Crazy. You're listening, Kath.
If you're not the political elite, you will not get it.
You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and on the line we have Brian Akin, author of The Blue Tent Sky.
One other question here, again, in retrospect, Brian. Looking back at that moment when you were told by the police in New Jersey that they were going to put a warrant out for you and they wanted you to come back, looking back, should you have lawyered up right then before you went any further?
Hindsight's 2020, and I've been told by a lot of law enforcement officers and lawyers that I was completely within my right to have ignored the police officer and just kept on driving to my apartment. We had a lot of faith in law enforcement. My uncle was a police officer, retired as a watch commander in the Philadelphia Police Department, so I grew up trusting police officers, and I thought that this was, you know, something that could just be explained, that, you know, there was nothing to be worried about. I probably should have lawyered up or just kept on driving.
So if you'd have made it to your apartment, unloaded your cargo, got the guns out of the car and into the apartment, then the problem goes away.
Yeah, because there was no warrant. You need suspicion of a crime being committed in order to get a judge to sign a warrant. There was no warrant.
Right.
They had just issued a general alert calling everybody, all the police departments in New Jersey,
okay,
telling them that if they see me, apprehend me and bring me back, but not on a suspicion of any crime whatsoever. So that right there is a violation of my Fourth Amendment right.
Right. Where's the
probable?
Yeah,
probable cause or whatever.
Wow.
There was none.
Well, you know, we've been talking a lot about the judges that are dealing with these cases, but I mean, it starts with not, you know, first you have the police that obviously need some training or something where they have a better understanding of the law, but also these prosecutors. If you had a prosecutor who decided not to file charges against you, I mean, you wouldn't have experienced any of this as well. So it seems like there needs to be some reform, you know, from the bench on down.
I agree, but there really is a prosecutorial incentive. You know, once the indictment is handed down, the prosecutors have an incentive to maintain a strong conviction percentage.
Oh, right.
So, I mean, we have a very adversarial, we call it a justice system, but it's not. It's a legal system.
That is exactly right.
The structure of laws. This is not about justice.
I'm very much afraid that a lot of these guys are going to work every day, not necessarily looking for justice. They're looking to get a conviction, and they're not always the same.
They're not, and it's far too easy for somebody to get an indictment. There was a judge who once said that his name was Sol Wachter, and he said a grand jury would indict a ham sandwich if that's what you wanted.
Yep.
Hmm. Now you're trying to get your record expunged. You're trying to go to the Supreme Court, correct?
Well, we appealed. Okay. And two of the convictions were overturned by the appellate division, including the biggest conviction, illegal possession of firearms. So that's completely off my record, as is the illegal possession of high-capacity magazines, because, you know, I didn't actually commit those crimes. Unfortunately, the appellate division upheld the conviction of illegal possession of hollow point ammunition, not because it's illegal to own hollow points in New Jersey, but because you can't legally take it from one house to another when you're moving. So on that technicality, they've maintained that I'm a convicted felon.
That's unfortunate.
We got less than a minute left, Brian, but what recourse do you have to get rid of that?
At this point, none. I went to the New Jersey Supreme Court. They refused to hear my case. I petitioned the Supreme Court of the United States because this law affects millions of gun owners in New Jersey who at any point in time might be moving, and they also refused to hear my case.
And I take it this is a felony, correct?
It is. The only recourse I have is asking Governor Christie to pardon.
Well, we'll put the pressure on. Brian, thank you so much for sharing your
story. Absolutely, Brian. Thanks for coming on the show.
This is Caffeinate.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
This is Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org.
Okay, it's time for our news rundown, otherwise known as News You Can Use. First up today is from Fox News. Franklin Graham bails out on the GOP. Evangelist Franklin Graham announced Tuesday he is leaving the Republican Party over the GOP-led spending bill passed last week, calling it wasteful and likening funding of Planned Parenthood to Nazi concentration camps. Shame on the Republicans and the Democrats for passing such a wasteful spending bill last week, and to top it off, funding Planned Parenthood. We talked about this last week on the show.
Yeah.
That in the dark of night, Ryan had reached this agreement, and There was a lot of bad stuff in this bill. And a lot of this has come to light.
I haven't had a chance, to read the bill, because who has time to read?
2,000-page bill.
Right. Does it actually fund Planned Parenthood, or does it just not defund Planned Parenthood? Because I think there is a difference.
I think it's the latter, but I don't know, buddy.
Well, and certainly I think I'm disgusted too. So I don't, even if it is the latter, I think it's still bad. It's horrible, wasteful bill. I think it's, Speaker Ryan, new boss, same as the last, the old boss. I mean, he's had opportunity to show people how he could be different than John Boehner, and he's failed, utterly failed. And I know there's people working to do a primary challenge in Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
so he's in trouble, possibly.
Well, and again, this was another, to your earlier point, this is another bill, and I forgot now who it was that was complaining about this, but this is another bill that nobody read.
Right. Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, nobody could possibly have read.
Yeah.
It happened too quickly. It was too big.
Definitely.
Situation normal.
That and, the Elementary and Secondary Education Act reauthorization, too. Definitely. It's disturbing. And fortunately, it was good to see that.
The Iowa contingent.
They held firm and they voted no on this. So I was happy to see that. So kudos to them.
Next up, Black Lives Matter demonstrates at the Mall of America and the Minneapolis Airport. According to Reuters, Black Lives Matter held demonstrations in Minnesota and California on Wednesday to protest police killings of unarmed blacks, dubbing the day Black Xmas to show it could affect the economy on one of the busiest shopping days of the year. I actually saw some of the news footage from this because I was up in Minnesota at the time. And, they were at the Mall of America in force and caused all kinds of commotion there. And I think the cops were maybe successful in running them out of that place eventually. Mm-hmm. So they went right over to the airport and just about shut that place down.
Wow.
So I mean, it was a big deal up there.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what they're hoping to achieve other than make nuisances out of themselves.
Yeah, I think some of this is wrongheaded. Some of the stuff they're trying to do is wrongheaded. On the other hand, there are some legitimate, I think, issues. And they have some legitimate concerns that I think need to be heard out.
But these guys never respond appropriately.
Right.
Ever.
Right. So there's a way of doing things, and I think there's a better way they could bring light to this issue that I think would probably garner more sympathy than what they're currently doing. I don't think every single police shooting of an unarmed black man is necessarily wrong. I think Ferguson, for instance, the police officer was being charged, and I think he didn't have any choice. However, there was a shooting in Cleveland of a young boy that raised question marks. It's like, what in the world,
Or that one in Chicago, where they held back the dash cam evidence for like a year or something, and then that video came to light, and it looks real bad.
Yeah, and
16 times.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the guy was a long ways away from the cops, and they just unloaded their weapon into him.
There needs to be, I think with that, there needs to be criminal charges.
He got charged with murder.
And we do need to have police that are held to account. We need to have transparency. There needs to be accountability. But we have to realize, too, that this is a high-pressure situation. Sometimes when they, you know, there are times when they honestly think the person's armed, and they may not be armed, but they're carrying something that looks. I think what found out with the Cleveland is, I think the boy, if I'm trying to remember the story correctly, that he had a airsoft weapon.
Okay.
Didn't have its tip.
Yeah.
Because those are supposed to have orange tips on them. So the police know they recognize them as airsoft because they do look pretty realistic otherwise.
Okay. The president says he's praying for persecuted Christians. Once again from Reuters, President Barack Obama said on Wednesday that he and his wife Michelle are praying for persecuted Christians as the world prepares to celebrate Christmas. Obama noted that the Islamic State's occupation of some areas will mean Christians there will have to keep their beliefs and celebrations quiet. In some areas of the Middle East where church bells have rung for centuries on Christmas Day, this year they will be silent, Obama said in a statement released by the White House. This silence bears tragic witness to the brutal atrocities committed against those communities by ISIL, he said, referring to the acronym used for the Islamic State, which controls territories in Syria and Iraq. Now, I just want to say, I think he's maybe a little late to the party, but right. I'm really glad to see him publicly address this.
Acknowledge this, yes. Yeah. Ted Cruz has been in the news. We got about 3 minutes left here. I don't know if everybody's seen the cartoon that was put out by the Washington Post. I can't think of the cartoonist's name off the top of my head.
I can't either.
But what a
stupid thing to do.
Okay, if you haven't seen the cartoon, basically portrays Ted Cruz as an organ grinder, and it portrays his daughters Caroline and Catherine, who are 4 and 7, as trained monkeys dancing while he's playing, and she felt that this was fair game because he included them in some parody Christmas ads that he did. I think they were just web ads. Just making light of some secular Christmas songs and he was like reading a book to him, you know, how the Grinch or how Obamacare stole Christmas and, you know, things like this, lighthearted stuff. And somehow because they were included in these ads, they were fair game. She said he was using them as props. Props, yes, yeah. Political props. And what disturbs me is to see how many conservatives, who obviously are backing another candidate, said mm-hmm. this mm-hmm. was okay. I'm like, what? No, this is not okay. It's not okay for it to happen to any candidate.
Can I ask the obvious question? Can you imagine the uproar that there would have been if this would have been a caricature or a cartoon about Obama and his two daughters? Just saying.
Oh yeah.
Just saying.
And that would have been just as bad. I think.
Except it would have been in the news cycle for 3 weeks and would have been headline news.
Right, right. Now I'm glad the Washington Post took it down, but the editor of the editorial page editor said, I can understand why she would justify it, even though I disagree. Now, I don't
like
even
politicians
understand.
Never have their families involved in a campaign ever.
Right. Well, it's like if he didn't include his daughters in his campaign, he'd probably never see them.
Yeah. Well, I would say it wouldn't be the first time we could come to this conclusion. The people at the Washington Post are morons.
Well, that's true. Yeah. I think we can.
Is that fair?
I think we there's wide, you know, lots of consensus over that, and they proved once again that they just can't be trusted. So you know, it's like Merry Christmas. We're gonna,
yeah,
like wow. I mean, if nothing else, at least wait till after Christmas before you do this. What happened to the Christmas peace we're supposed to have? You know, kind of take
there's
a break from stuff like
there's,
this.
There's no detente during the holidays, apparently.
Not. Well, this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
There are times in a conflict when the emotional drain has left you with the been there, done that, got the t-shirt attitude. Your creativity has been totally zapped and you cannot think of any solution other than the ones that you've tried over and over again. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. The letter S in the Pause for Peace principle is to search for creative solutions. This will require you to explore a little outside of the box you have erected around this conflict. The best solution might be an outlier to the typical win-win or 50-50 propositions. You might benefit from additional set of eyes on the problem. So if we can help, please feel free to call us at 515-635-5465 to set up a free consultation or visit our website at crosswalkcounseling.org. Again, that number, 515-635-5465.
And welcome back to Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. This is, we're looking at Brian.
Head bobbing.
Head bobbing now. No air drums, just the head bobbing. He's a rocker. Wow. Oh, we're almost done. We're almost there, folks. Last 5 minutes here. I just want to remind you guys about the giveaway. We are giving a copy of each of Rosaria Butterfield's... I knew you were going to laugh. Rosaria Butterfield's books, The Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert, as well as Openness Unhindered. If you go to caffeinatethoughts.com, I have to warn you, hopefully this is resolved before the radio program, but right now having a little technical glitch. Keep going back, though. if it's not back up and running, it will be shortly. But go to caffeinatethoughts.com, click on As Heard on the Radio. When you fill out the form, which is just asking for an email and your name, the winning word is coffee.
What was that?
Coffee.
What was that?
My favorite drink, coffee.
Coffee.
So.
And now, we've come to my favorite part of the show. We didn't do that quite as well as we did last week.
No, but that's okay. We can't nail it every single
week. That's right. We have standards. We don't want to do it.
We're only human.
We're about to share a story that is truly unbelievable. Yet, you know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up.
All right. This is from the Huffington Post. Cleveland, Ohio. Police in Cleveland say a man called 911 because he felt he was in danger. And then he asked the dispatcher to hold on while he made a drug deal.
Yes.
Well,
interrupt him right in the middle of something.
That hit Vander Hart's funny bone.
He actually said that? Wait a minute. I gotta sell some coke here. Just hold on a second.
Police Lieutenant Thomas Stacio said Tuesday that Alejandro Melendez was arrested after the call and was charged with possessing cocaine. Police said Melendez called 911 late Saturday and reported that two men with guns were watching him. Police records show he hung up, so the dispatcher called back. Melendez answered and asked the dispatcher to hold on.
I'm in the middle of something.
Okay, so he didn't say, hey, wait a minute, I got a drug deal to make.
it wasn't quite that bad.
But he should have muted the phone.
A voice can be heard on the recording of the call saying, what do you need? A 10-pack? You need a 10-pack? All right. Apparently, a 10-pack is slang for a bundle of heroin. The dispatcher called police, who found Melendez at the location he gave, and he had the dispatcher call his cell phone again. And they said they found cocaine in his trousers.
Well, okay. All right. Apparently, Mr. Melendez is not familiar with the proper slang for the proper drug.
Oh, I don't know how this stuff works. Illuminate us here, pal.
Well, because if a 10-pack is meant for heroin, but he had coke.
Maybe he had some of both.
Oh.
Oh, it could be.
Maybe possible.
That's right. He'd already delivered the merchandise.
Yeah, he's diversified.
The cocaine is left because he'd already sold the heroin. All right.
I wonder if he's got any chocolate.
Well, who knows?
My drug of choice.
Chocolate. Dark chocolate. It's like, yeah. It's like crack.
There was no immediate indication Tuesday if Melendez, 20, had an attorney to speak for him.
He needs one bad. And the attorney's first thing he probably say is, just shut up.
Just don't say anything.
Whatever you're thinking, don't. Send your You Can't Make This Stuff Up ideas to story@caffeinatedthoughts.com. We'll give you the credit or the blame if we use your suggestion on the show.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll see you next week.
Take care, everybody.
Hope you had a Merry Christmas and have a Happy New Year.